Mark chapter 15. He conquered death. We'll start reading in verse 42. Now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, is coming, and taking courage, went in to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he brought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a tomb which had been cut out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that it is finished. You've made salvation plan for us, that if we by faith would trust you and what you've done on the cross of Calvary, Lord, that we might have eternal life, that we could be free from the chains of death. And God, we give you praise now for your Holy Spirit as it speaks to our heart, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. The best news this old world's ever heard was he lives. He lives. He lives. He lives within my heart. You ask me how I know he lives. He's right here, folks. And that is good news, for we need a Savior. We are sinners. We chose to sin. We were born into sin. Every single one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word says, and there's no hope besides Jesus Christ. Now, the good news is that he lives. On that morning when the ladies went to the tomb, they were expecting to maybe find his body there and anoint his body for the burying and things like that. They wondered how they would roll that stone away. Can you imagine them going there early that morning? They find the stone's already been rolled away, and he's not there. Several years ago, Rhonda and I and a few other members of our church got to go to the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, and we went in, and you know what? It is empty. And there's a sign as you look, as you go out, he's not here. He has risen. You study the Gospels, and you see that Jesus claimed to be God in human form. He said, I and the Father am one. He says, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He said, I have the power to forgive sins. And one day, the Bible says, he's coming back. Friends, that's good news of the gospel. He lives. One day he's coming back, and if we have trusted him as our Lord and Savior, we'll get to go to heaven to be with him. And folks, that's just as simple as it can be. Paul said Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Friends, Jesus Christ on that morning had burst forth out of that tomb. The God who made you and I, the God who loves you, the God who wants you to be free from the bondage of this old world. Did you know the Bible says we're bondage right now out of Christ? You're bondage to the flesh, the devil, and the world. All right, they control you, but it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus died, the Bible says, and it is finished. When he cried out, it is finished, salvation's plan was complete. You have a way this morning to come and get freedom from the chains of this old world. You have a way to get freedom from the sin of this old world by the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the good news. It reaches from heaven. It reaches to the pews you're in, and it will take you and help you and strengthen you in the conflicts that we live in. You see, we live in a world, don't we, full of conflicts. Our world is full of trouble. If you're not having trouble in life, just wait a minute, you will. It will happen. If you do not have pain in life, just wait a little while, the pain will come. You're either going out of a conflict or just been in a conflict, the way I look at it. And only Jesus Christ can help you in those rough areas of life. Man, I thought when I was a young person, I see a lot of young people over here. Not that this group over here is not young, but a lot more younger over here. Yep, I see more hair over here than I do over here. No, you know what? When I was a young person, I thought I could conquer everything. As we grow older, we realize that our bodies suffer a lot. We realize we have more aches and pains. We realize that we're not capable of everything we think we are. I knew when I was a kid I could run and I could jump with the best of them. The other day I had come up to a little old bitty creek. That thing couldn't have been over 3 steps wide, but it was kind of deep. And I walked up there and I said, well, you know, I can almost step over that thing. I'm going to try. That was a mistake. Age has caught up with me. You think that's funny? You go try it sometime. I'll tell you what, if you're over 60, I ended up face down in the mud. I'm allergic to, I found out, poison oak, poison ivy. Whatever they are, you know, I got it on my arms, and I told Rhonda, I said, I don't know what all this is, but I think it's poison ivy. I got a good second helping of it when I hit that ground. But, you know, our bodies do wear out, don't they? We get old. Some people say we grow old gracefully. I don't. I don't want to grow old gracefully. I just want to stay young for a while. I'm not worried about death. Because years ago, I made things right with God. I gave him my life. I trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And he released me from the fear and freedom that death brings. Oh, I don't want to die. But I know if I die today, I'm going to be with God. Not by who I am, but what he did on Calvary. When he finished that work and he died on Calvary, they put him in that tomb. And just like he said, on the third day, he rose again. And because he rose from the grave, we too can rise from the grave. We will rise. These old bodies that we lay to rest, man, I don't worry about it because Jesus Christ is coming. And the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the last trump shall sound, the dead in Christ will be raised first. Now, if I die before he comes back, my old body's going to beat yours if you're still living. And then we which are alive, it says, shall be caught up to be with him in the clouds. Oh, I think about these disciples. It was a dark day there. The resurrection of Jesus Christ hadn't happened yet when they buried him in that tomb. They gathered together, and it was a dark day in their life because the one that they had walked with, the one that they had put their faith in, had now been crucified on the cross. But when they went down to the tomb that morning early and saw the stone roll away, oh, don't you know the joy that filled their heart when the angel of the Lord says, he's not here, he's risen. And they rushed back to tell the disciples, listen, he's alive, he's alive. Don't you know that caused their heart to jump within them? He's alive. Once they were scared, but now they're not scared anymore. Some people tell me today that all that was just a story, that he didn't really die. Let me tell you something. The Roman soldiers knew how to crucify someone. When they crucified somebody on the cross, he died. They made sure he was dead on that cross. The Bible says a centurion went from Pilate out to check, and he come back and said, "Yes, he is dead." He gave permission to these friends to take him to that tomb. Friends, let me tell you something. He did die. He just didn't pass out or go to sleep like some people say. He died. But you know what? The good news is he rose again. That's good news for you and I. And because the Bible says, because he lives, we too shall live. You see, the Bible starts out over in the Old Testament in the Garden of Eden. I love to tell a story in the Garden of Eden when God judged old Satan right there. It happened after Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit and they had realized they were in sin, and God pronounced judgment on old Satan, and he spoke of the coming conflict that was coming. It's the whole creation moans and groans because of the conflict. But it's finished now in Jesus Christ. Satan, the Bible says, would hurt him. That would bruise his heel upon the cross. But the Bible says that he would be crushed in the process. Jesus Christ. You know, the old devil, I was telling someone the other day, the old devil must have smiled and said, I got rid of that guy. I killed God's son. But you know, it was in God's plan. He's always ahead of the old devil. And friends, that's the way God is. He won the battle. And when God nailed his son to the cross for your sins and mine, we didn't take his life. The Bible said, we saw it a while ago on the film, he gave his life. He gave his life for you and I, that we might have life. You know, he wants everyone to come to him. The Bible says he wished that none should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Now, some say, well, that simply means God's going to save everybody. Nope, that doesn't mean that. The Bible says he wishes none should perish. He gives you a choice. He doesn't force you to come to him. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to have eternal life, but you have to make a choice this morning. You're here because you chose to come. If you leave here, you're going to leave here one or two ways, with Christ or without Christ. You've heard the good news. Jesus died for you. The gospel is that if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you accept the payment of our sin upon the cross, we can have eternal life. You see, when I see the cross, and I look at the cross every Sunday morning, when I see the cross of Jesus Christ, I see the place where Jesus battled death and won. When I see the cross, when I look at the cross, I see where life met death and life won. When I face the cross and I see the cross, I see where Jesus Christ met evil and Jesus won. When I think of the cross, I see where good met evil and good won. Friends, it makes every difference in the world. Which side are you on this morning? Are you on God's side? Are you on the devil's side? Are you on the side of Christ or evil? You see, that's what it's all about. God offers you salvation, but you got to come through the cross. I don't know, all these television shows say, well, just find out about your spirit and all of that, and that's good enough. Let me tell you something. That's not what the Bible says. There's only one way to get to heaven. And you better listen to it. It is the way of the cross. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, man, you can go to heaven when you die. Well, the death is not incomplete. It's not enough just to die, the Bible says. You know, if Jesus Christ would have died on that cross and had not risen from the grave, it wouldn't have been complete, would it? The Bible says here that they took him down and buried him in the tomb. And then on that morning, we had a triumphal victory over death. Jesus rose. The sting of death was overcome. The victory is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let me say this. Some of you are here this morning, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Never have you given yourself to Jesus Christ. Oh, you're a good person, maybe. I believe most people are good. Most people that would come to church on Easter is probably a good person. Maybe you've never stole anything or done anything. You don't curse and you don't smoke and you don't chew and all of that kind of stuff. You're just living a good life. You give to Salvation Army at Christmas. You have an angel tree, whatever you do. You do a good job doing that. But you know, all the good that you do does not save you. For the Bible says you cannot be good enough to get into heaven. There's only one way, and that is faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Do you believe in your heart the story of Christ? Do you believe in your heart that Christ died on the cross and he rose on the third day and one day he's coming back? That's what the Bible says. If you believe that with all your heart and you're willing to say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner and I want you in my life. I want to turn from my sin. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior and I'm going to live for you. You can be saved today. You can walk out of here today free from the bondage of the chains of sin. Oh, it doesn't mean you'll be perfect. But the Bible says Jesus Christ is your Lord. And in our Sunday school class, we ended up with a note like this. Jesus Christ is your advocate in heaven. He's there. He's praying for you. You're listening to him. He's praying for you. And when you pray, you can say, Father, I confess that I failed you today. You know, I go through life and sometimes I think, man, I've got it down. I've got this living for Christ down. And about the time I think I got something down, I trip and fall just like crossing that creek, face down into the old flesh. Man, I feel so guilty because, you know, I've drugged God down too because he lives in my heart. And I feel so guilty for doing that, I just have to get on my knees. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And I say, Lord, I realize I messed up. I realize I can't live the Christian life. I want you to live it through me. And he forgives me. Picks me back up and says, go again. You see, that's simple as that. If by faith you will ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart this morning, you can and will be saved. If you sit there and you say, well, I don't want to do that. I believe that one day that Jesus Christ, yes, I believe the story. I believe he's coming back, just like he said. But I have some more living I want to do. I don't want to turn from my sin. Do you know what? You go out of here, you die, you're lost for all eternity. All eternity. There's no second chance. You're dead forever. You'll, the Bible says, spend an eternity in a place called hell. It's a real place, just as real as heaven. Folks, that's a awful big chance, isn't it? I lived my life that way for about 21 years. And one day I said, Lord, I want you is my Lord and Savior. I am tired of fighting with the flesh. I'm tired of fighting with the devil. I'm tired of fighting with the world. I want you to come into my life. You know what? I stepped out and came to Jesus Christ. I told that preacher down there, I said, listen, I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he said, I thought you already had. I said, no, but I'm doing it today. I was baptized. Baptism doesn't save you. But baptism is a commitment or a sign to the world that, hey, I'm following Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. I've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Folks, that's what it's all about. Would you come this morning? If you're here and you're a Christian already and you're not living like one, you just need to come to the altar and say, hey, Lord, I have really messed up. I've got some chains in my life that I need to be released from. You know what? If you'll go to him, he will release you from those. He'll give you the strength to overcome. You see, we're overcomers in Christ Jesus. We have victory. My father was a fine man. He was a great Christian guy to his children and to his wife and to us. And his favorite song was, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I can still hear him singing as he led church music in our church where I grew up. You see, there's joy in Christ. There's joy in Christ. Well, preacher, there's victory over the grave. And you know what the Bible says? I love to tell the story. They were gathered in that upper room, and the ladies come in, and they said, he's risen. He's alive. And all of a sudden, right there in their midst, Jesus comes there, and he appears. Well, don't you know they were shaking? And he said, guys, it's me. Don't be afraid. It's me. See the nail prints in my hand? See the nail prints in my feet? See my side? And they saw Jesus Christ, and they talked with him, and he spent some time here on earth with his believers and his disciples. And they gained strength from him. Peter, who had denied Christ and went out and wept bitterly, God says, Peter, I love you. I love you. Feed my sheep. Take care of my flock. And you know what? He did. He gained strength from that. And let me tell you, if you will come to Christ this morning, no matter what failures you may have, you will gain strength from Christ. But just come into him and say, Lord, I've messed up. I'm kind of like Peter. I've denied you. He'll say, feed my sheep. They were standing out. He was preaching. And in Acts, the Bible says he began to rise up from the earth and disappeared in the clouds. And they stood there gazing, wondering, what's going on? What are we to do now? All of a sudden, men in white apparel, I believe they're angels, came and said, you men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the clouds? This same Jesus, he's alive, will come again one day just as you've seen him go. In the meantime, you tell everyone the story. You tell everyone the gospel, the good news. Go tell the world that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. He's alive forevermore. Friends, that's what Easter is all about. Jesus Christ saves. He finished the course that God had laid out for him on this old world. He died upon the cross, and he rose again on the third day. And because he lives, we can live also. If you don't know Jesus, would you come today? Would you just simply step out and walk the aisle and say, listen, I want a personal relationship with Jesus. That's all it takes. You want to trust Christ. I've got plenty of time. The church has got plenty of time. Everybody's going to be praying for the person next to them. If they haven't made a decision, would you come? Listen, fathers, you may be here with your daughters, you may be here with your children, you may be here with your wife. Would you come? And, you know, I am so glad that my father was saved one day. And because he was saved, he loved my mother so much, it was like having heaven on earth in our home. Boy, wouldn't you like to be the man of your house and live like that, and your children come to know the Lord, and instead of chaos, which we see, you look on the TV and all you see is dysfunctional families. I'm so glad that my family was centered in Christ. And it all starts with the father. Fathers, you're responsible to lead your family. Maybe you're a mother and you're a single mother or a single mom. You're to lead your children. I thank God that my mother still serves God to this day, 80-something years old, and still loves God. Would you come with your children? I'm going to pray, and we're going to give an invitation. And if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life and change your life, I'm going to ask you to come. That's not a real hard thing to do. Just step out and come. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you that he finished the course and laid down his life and took it up again that we might have eternal life. If there's someone here today that's been away from God, that's without God and wants God, let them come today and get that straight. We'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand?